Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Ava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vala Bhakiri Vardhadi Gopi Jana Vala Bhakiri Vardhadi Yasoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravanachari Chamuna Chiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vala Bhakiri Vardhadi Jai Gopi Jana Vala Bhakiri Vardhadi Yasoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Yasoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravanachari Jamuna Chiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Dhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Jaya Bihari. Gopi Janavala Bhagirivara Dhari. Jai Gopi Janavala Bhagirivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Tamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Shivad Paramahansa Parvajikacharya Sotarasata Shishima Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for coming this morning. Nice to see you. So, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 53, Text 7. So 7 and 8 are together. Okay, what to do? What's there? I'm in the wrong. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So I'll just read the first verse, and then we'll chant the second one together. Aruya shundanam sori dvijam aropya turnagai anartad eka ratrena Vidarban Agamad Dayai. So this means Lord Shori mounted his chariot and had the Brahmana do likewise. Then the Lord's swift horses took them to the Anartha district. That's interesting. To Vidarbha in a single night. So this is, of course, this chapter is called Krishna Kidnaps Rukmini. So we're hearing how Krishna received the note from the Brahmana on behalf of Rukmini that she only wanted him as her husband and to please come and save her from Shishupal. So then the Brahmana delivered the note, and now the Lord is getting on his chariot and going off to save Rukmini. So we can read this verse together. Raja Sakun Raja Sa Kundina Pati Putra Sneha Vashanuga Shishupalaya Swam Kunyam Dasyan Karman Yakarayat Raja Sukundina Pati Putra Sneha Vasanuga Shishupalaya Swam Kanyam Dasyan Kaman Yakarayat Raja Sakundina Pati Putra Sneha Vasanuga Shishupalaya Swam Kanyam Dasyam Kaman Yakarayat Raja Sukundina Pati Patra Sneha Vashanuga Shishupalaya Swam Kanyam Dasyan Kaman Yakarayat. Raja Sukum Pati So, please repeat. Raja, the king, Saha, he, Bhishmaka, Kundinapati, the master of Kundina, Putra, for his son, Sneha, of affection, Vesha, the control, Anuga, obeying, Shishupalaya, to Shishupal, Swam, his, Kanyam, daughter, Dasyam, being about to give, Karmani, required duties, Akarayat, he had done. King Bhishmaka, the master of Kundina, having succumbed to the sway of affection for his son, was about to give his daughter to Shishupal. The king saw to all the required preparations. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami points out in this connection that King Bhishmaka had no particular liking for Shishupal, but rather acted out of attachment for his son Rukmini. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashchatade Shatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna. I haven't prepared for this class, so we'll see what happens. With your permission, I'd like to read the first verses leading up to this. Shukadev Goswami said, thus hearing the confidential message of Princess Vidarbhi, Lord Yadunandana took the Brahmana's hand and smiling spoke to him as follows. Supreme Lord said, just as Rukmini's mind is fixed on me, my mind is fixed on her. I can't even sleep at night. I know that Rukmini, out of envy, has forbidden our marriage. She has dedicated herself exclusively to me, and her beauty is flawless. I will bring her here after thrashing those worthless kings in battle. Jai Krishna. Just as one brings a blazing flame out of firewood. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Madhusudana also understood the exact lunar time for Rukmini's wedding. Thus he told his driver, Daruka, ready my chariot immediately. Daruka brought the Lord's chariot, yoked with the horses, named Shaibya, Sugriva, Megapushpa, and Balahuka. He then stood before Lord Krishna with joined palms. Lord Shauri mounted his chariot and had the Brahmana do likewise. Then the Lord's swift horses took them from the Anartha district to Vidarbha in a single night. King Bhishmaka, the master of Kundina, having succumbed to the sway of affection for his son, was about to give his daughter to Shishupal. The king saw to all the required preparations. So the Lord here is described as Shari. Does anybody know the meaning of that word? It's the cinnamon is given as Lord Krishna. Is there another meaning for that word? Shauri. Huh? Brave one. One who's brave. Okay. So Lord Krishna is certainly the most brave. So we can see, of course, we understand from the writings of the Goswamis that Rukmini is actually Chandravali. I just learned this recently. Therefore, she's, what's it called, a right-wing gopi, right? She's very, very submissive to Krishna, unlike sometimes Radha, who's a little feisty. So Rukmini certainly has all of those characteristics of just being completely submissive to Krishna. And in her form, Chandravali as Rukmini, she has these characteristics. And Simply by hearing about Krishna, her love for him was awakened to such an extent, to such a deep extent. And this is somewhat of a mystery because she didn't, of course they heard about Krishna, but how much did they hear about Krishna? We're hearing about Krishna every day. And we're trying to develop some attachment, some attraction for him. So certainly she was a young girl, how much could she have heard? But just by that little hearing, her love for him, her attraction was so strong that her attraction attracted Krishna. The devotee's love for Krishna attracts Krishna. It's actually the only thing that attracts Krishna is our love. And we similarly have that capability that we can develop our love for Krishna. This is our process, is to try to develop our love, our attraction for Krishna. I remember hearing a story in the early days of Satsarup, then I guess he was Adhikari at that point. And he was serving Srila Prabhupada. I think he was doing typing for Srila Prabhupada, and he would bring the... He was doing his work every day and bringing the typing to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was grateful for the service. But at one point, Srila Prabhupada told him, said, it's not like that. It's not that I just give you some work and you do it and give it back to me. He says, but rather, this is an exchange of love. And he said, if you love me, I'll love you. So the spiritual master loves us. Srila Prabhupada loves us. He loves us so much. But we can't actually understand that love. We can understand the love of Krishna and the love of the spiritual master to the extent that our own devotion is developed. When I was growing up, I was around a lot of Christians, and they would always say, Jesus loves you. And that's nice to know. God loves you. It's good information. that God loves us. But that's not the issue. The issue is, do we love him? That's the issue. Because we can't actually appreciate the love of Krishna unless we love him to the extent that we love him. So we see this example here that because she loved Krishna so much that he actually says that I can hardly sleep at night thinking about her. So this is the natural reciprocation of love. Therefore, it's said that Krishna easily gives liberation. Krishna easily gives liberation. He gives so many things. He's willing to give them, but he rarely gives pure devotional service. That's one of the qualifications of pure devotional service, is that it's rarely achieved. So Krishna rarely awards this because then he has to give himself. So giving pure devotional service means that Krishna has to give himself. And so he only does that to devotees that really, really love him, that he can really trust. Just like in the normal sense, we're also the same way. We may have so many things that we carry within our heart that no one knows, and we don't even ourselves, as conditioned souls, no one can understand those things about us unless we reveal them. And who do we reveal them to? We only reveal things about ourselves to people that we know that we can trust, that care about us, that don't have some motive, that don't have some agenda. If a person has some agenda, then we are suspicious of that, and we're cautious. So Krishna's all-knowing, and knowing the heart of his devotee, he's ready to give himself when we have actually given our heart. So that is the process of devotional service, is that we're trying to learn how to give our heart back to Krishna. we've given our heart to the material world, unfortunately. We're attracted to the material world, not to Krishna. I was just at a japa retreat this weekend, and it's a very interesting experience. One of the devotees was there. That we're trying to give our heart back to Krishna. That, but we find that when we chant, we try to hear the holy name, but the mind wanders away. And then we bring it back, and we try to hear, and again it wanders away. So this is a position of the conditioned soul, is to be always wandering away from Krishna. Krishna bahir mukho hoy bhogavancha kori. Since time immemorial, we're Krishna bahir mukha. We're turning our face from Krishna, and we're looking towards the material world. Oh, I can enjoy here. There's something here I can enjoy. According to the body that we have, the mind that we have, we think that there's something here for me to enjoy. There's some pleasure is here. Some happiness is here. Although Krishna says that this isn't a place of happiness, we don't believe him. There must be some happiness here. So therefore, we're turning away. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes this as our truant tendency. It's in a truant tendency. Hare Krishna. So you've probably heard that word truant, right? They don't use that anymore. Do they have truant officers anymore? I think if nobody goes to school, they could care less. But when I was little, they had truant officers that would, if you didn't go to school, they would come and find you, take you to school. I never had that happen to me. But yeah, there were truant officers. So we're supposed to be somewhere. We're actually not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be in the spiritual world. But we have this truant tendency. Therefore, Krishna has created the material world for that, just simply for that. Just simply for us to exhaust any and all imaginable possibilities of enjoying separately from him. Endless choices. How to enjoy separately from Krishna.
I have somewhere else I have to be. I'm sorry.
No, no worries. Thank you for coming. So this is our tendency. And our process is to try to look within our heart by chanting the holy name. We can awaken the love that is there. This is our process. And by hearing about the devotees of the Lord, then we also want to develop this kind of love. Just like they have such love, so similarly we can develop such love. And this can be awakened by chanting. I read something very interesting recently, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving some instructions on chanting, and he said, I can't remember it exactly, but more or less he said that when you begin to chant without offense, you will be convinced that all perfection can be achieved by chanting the holy name. Very important point. When we begin to chant without offense, then we will be convinced, deeply convinced, that all perfection can be achieved by chanting the holy name. So our acharya, certainly Srila Prabhupada, has stressed that we are want to revive our love for Krishna, and we must learn to chant without offense. So this weekend we had the opportunity to try again and again and again to take the time just to hear, to let the sound vibration come in. And when the sound, when our mind actually gives us a break and we can hear, then the heart becomes cleansed. The cleansing process of the holy name begins to take place when we actually hear. And then gradually, nartas are destroyed and our love for Krishna, our affection for Krishna awakens. And we experience that a little bit at least over the years of chanting that Krishna is so wonderful. So this is a very nice, this nice pastime. Krishna, there's always seems to be, although Krishna is all powerful, he can arrange, you know, Krishna doesn't have to fight, you know, with envious persons or deal with the intrigue that there's, you know, some envious Rukmi who's, you know, disrupting his relationship, or he doesn't have to do any of these things. These are all the arrangements of yoga maya to enhance his pastimes, to make them even sweeter. So he could understand that Rukmi was envious of him. Shishupal, of course, was so envious of Krishna. So maybe somebody could remind me that, of course, Shishupal was, which one? Jai, Vijay, one of the two, right? Huh?
One of them.
And he took, this was, what was his first birth? Was, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakasipu. Yeah, he took birth. And then Shishupal and Dantavakra. No, before that was Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Yeah, so this was this time. So, yeah, many bursts of being envious of Krishna. Deep, deep envy. And he was so offensive that his mother asked for Krishna that he would not be killed by Krishna until he had offended him, was it 100 times, right? So he's still working on his 100 times. Still alive. That is quite a blessing, though, isn't it? Benediction. And we know, of course, that these are actually devotees playing this part. And they were given the choice. They could take 7 births in the material world as devotees and come back to Krishna, or 3 births as demons. And they thought, well, we'll come back sooner. And anyway, Krishna wants somebody to fight with. So, okay, let us do that. So Krishna has these pastimes. Krishna likes to, he also fights with his cowherd boyfriends, not quite so seriously as this. But he also has challenges with them. And so this is the nature of Krishna's love for his devotees and his reciprocation. So anyway, from one point of view, this envy is there. And then King Bhishmaka, although he wanted to give his daughter to Krishna, he had deep respect and love for Krishna. But still, out of affection for his son, he had to oblige him. Another example of a similar incident was when who was it? My mind just went blank. The enemy of the Pandavas, Duryodhana, was born. His father also was instructed that this son is so envious, he's so evil, you should just kill him immediately, and otherwise he will destroy the whole dynasty. He'll destroy the whole Kuru dynasty. And in fact, it happened. All of his sons, Dhritarashtra, all of his sons were killed. 100 sons were killed. And such great calamity just due to the envy of one person. So the material world has this feature. It's said that all of the different emotions that are in the material world are there in the spiritual world in their pure form, except for this one emotion, which is envy. Envy is not in the spiritual world. Again, Krishna Bahir Mukahoi Bhogavanchakori. When we turn our back towards Krishna and we want material things, we want material enjoyment, we want ourselves to be little Krishnas, I think Vishnu Jana Swami used to say, if you're not thinking of how to serve Krishna, you're thinking you are Krishna. So maybe we don't realize it in that way, but actually it's a fact. If we think that we're, if we think that we're enjoyers in any way, shape, or form in this material world, then we're trying to occupy Krishna's position. So, the flip side of this enjoyment of the material world is envy. It's the sad situation of this material world, the disease of envy. We see it practically. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, being so impressed that with this understanding that, oh, that's the problem here. You know, why are we all fighting? Why do we hate each other? There's enough of everything. Why can't we get along? You know, and some people come along and say, oh, you should just love each other. Love's the answer. But it never happens, you know. Still, people fight, you know. And so it's quite obvious that the disease of the material world is this envy, this causeless, for no reason. There's no particular reason why we should be envious of each other, why we should hate each other. And it's linked with our desire to enjoy the material world. Of course, when we want to be enjoyers of the material world, then naturally we want others to be help us in our enjoyment. And so then there's competition. There's always this competition for resources and for enjoyment. So this is a situation. And there's really no way out other than developing our love for Krishna to getting rid of this disease and to generally giving up our attraction for this material world. There's so many different utopian attempts to make the world a nice place without dealing with this fundamental issue, and they will never be successful. They can never possibly be successful. Therefore, only revival of our Krishna consciousness can deal with the fundamental problems that we face. So when Krishna comes here to this material world, he also faces envy. It's interesting. People are also envious of Krishna. Not only also, he's the original source of envy. If we're envious of someone who has a better car, how much would be envious of Krishna, who has everything? So anyway, that's the problem. So he faces this envy. We see in his pastimes that there are those who appreciate Krishna, who love Krishna, and those who are envious. It's like when he went to Mathura, and we were hearing these, oh, yeah, into Mathura, and different people had different relationships towards him. And the washerman, you know, when he was asked for the clothes of Krishna, of the king, you know, he said, no, these are the clothes of the king. You can't have them. You're rascal boys. Why are you asking for the clothes of the king? You should be punished for this. So because of his mentality, he got a certain result. And then there were others who, immediately upon seeing Krishna, like Kubja, immediately upon seeing Krishna, she had so many scents and beautiful sandalwood paste and all of these things. And when she saw Krishna, although those were also meant for the king, she saw Krishna and Balaram, and she thought, oh, these are suitable for you. These things should be offered to you. So similarly, they should think that this most beautiful girl, Rukmini, whose heart is set on Krishna, she should be offered to Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada said that we should think that all women, you know, are Krishna's gopis. Man should think that women are not for me to enjoy, but all women, they are for Krishna's enjoyment. Otherwise, we'll have difficulties. Not exactly like Shishupal, but similar. So, any discussion on these points, questions? Should we read another verse, or? Okay. Sorry, I'm not better prepared. I just got in yesterday. Anyway, let's read the next verse. Puram samrishta sam shikta marga ratya kustupatam chitra dvaja patakabhis taranai shamalankritam. Shagantha malya baranar virajo bara bhushita justam shri purushai shrimad grihar aguru dupitai. The king had the main avenues, commercial roads, and intersections thoroughly cleansed and then sprinkled with water. And he also had the city decorated with triumphant archways and multicolored banners on poles. The men and women of the city, arrayed in spotless raiment and anointed with fragrant sandalwood paste, wore precious necklaces, flower garlands and jeweled ornaments. And their opulent homes were filled with the aroma of aguru. Purport, when earthen roads are sprinkled with water, the dust settles, and the road becomes smooth and firm. King Bhishmaka thoroughly prepared for the great wedding, setting the scene for Krishna's triumphant abduction of beautiful Rukmini Devi. So these, as we can see, the just like that example, the Kubja was preparing all of these different things, scented, all of these wonderful scents, sandalwood paste, all of these things. These are meant for Krishna. These are actually meant for worshiping the Lord. We get satisfaction not from decorating our bodies. Actually, it's described that a body without devotion to Krishna, or simply it's like decorating a dead body. All of the wonderful things in society, all the ornaments, all the whatever it is that's nice, we're simply decorating a dead body. What is it? Mandanam lokaranchanam. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya jati shastram japastapa apranasya eva dehasya lokanam mandanam lokaranchanam. Without Bhagavad bhakti, without devotion to the Lord, hinasya jati, whatever learning we have, whatever family we have, jati, shastram, whatever learning and shastras we have, jati, tapas, whatever austerities we perform, whatever opulences are there, pranasya eva dehasya, they're simply like decorations on a dead body. So in the absence of Krishna, these nice arrangements are made to decorate dead bodies or to ornament worthless persons. But by Krishna's arrangement, these arrangements were made. All of this was done, the jeweled ornaments, the garlands, everything. It was actually made as an offering to him. So that's the perfection, that all of the archways and everything, it makes no sense that these should be made for any normal person. These are meant for Krishna's worship. Just like in our modern world, there's hardly any temples, but we have our shopping malls, right, to worship the dead bodies of so many people. These are like grand temples to consumerism. America's on sale. But actually, so if we don't, I saw this, Bulgaria. It was really interesting. There's the remnants of the communist regime there. And they're officially, during the communist times, they officially, were atheistic. We don't believe in God. But there's this one place where they built this monument, which is really like a temple, except it's so ugly. And you come up, from the bottom, there's this huge hill, and from the bottom of the hill, there's these steps, and there's this big monument. And on one side, there's these kind of mystical figures standing there holding, things like a star and stuff like that. And then on the other side of the monument, there's four Russian soldiers, like holding guns and like that. And, it's like, supposed to, invoke your Aishwarya Bhav, I guess, And it's, it's impressive in a way. Actually, if you go up to the monument, then around all the bottom of the monument, it's simply covered with graffiti and, it's crumbling. And But you can just see, in the, we want to worship Krishna. You know, these things are meant for Krishna. And if we don't, then, you know, they still create the same stuff, the same monuments for what? You know, for nothing, for nothing with any substance at all. Russian soldiers or what, you know, motherland or, you know, what is there? You know, there's nothing there. So anyway, we're fortunate that we can have our temple and actually use our wealth, our ornaments, our decorations to decorate the worshipable Lord. And in that process, and worship his consort, and in this way, revive our love for him, our Krishna consciousness. So, okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.